You are listening to the Makers Church podcast. For more information about our community, please visit makerschurch.org.
Hey, I don't know, how's it going? My name is June. I'm actually not a pastor here. I like to lead with that because when I miss my cues, it's totally fine. I'm like not on staff or anything. I was talking to Pastor Derek, and he was kind of asking for some folks to see if they wanted to preach, and I felt kind of the calling of the Spirit to be up here, so feel really excited to be here with all of you. If this is your first time to Makers, I just want to say welcome. Again, the disclosure, I'm not a pastor here. I am an unaccredited Bible college dropout. That is definitely the joke that I like to lean on the most. It's just like, not supposed to be here, but I'm here. I was talking to Andrew Schweitzer last week, and he was like, yeah, I just kind of assumed every Bible college was unaccredited. And I was like, sweet, man. And my parents are here, and something I think about a lot for them is like, you know, they immigrated from another country to come here. And as their, you know, friends and relatives are like, oh, yeah, you know, my son is, joining the service. You know, my kid is a nurse. My kid's a doctor. It's like, well, my kid's an unaccredited Bible college dropout. You know, and so here we are. I just like want to lead with that. We're going to start real low, and hopefully the Spirit can fill the gaps in today's message. We are going through the book of Acts this morning. And I guess before we hop into the book of Acts, I've really felt the Spirit of the Lord I feel like he wants to communicate something to you this morning. If you're here and you barely even got in, you barely got in through the doors, or maybe you just feel like you're being crushed. Maybe you just feel like everything in your life is falling apart. I just want you to know that the Spirit of God sees you. He knows you. He is with you. He loves you. God loves you regardless of the things you've done to even before you even came in here. Like, those things have not changed for you, right? And so you could tune out for the rest of the sermon, and I'm fine with that, but that's the one thing I need you to know this morning. There's nothing you can do, sin great or small, that is going to deter God's love from you. And so I just want you to know that before we get in. We're picking up in Acts chapter 21 this morning. Now, before we actually do that, I wanted to spend a little bit of time going through the context of Acts, because I feel like we're going through bits and pieces of it, but before we actually get in, I want to get into some context, right? Get into some context about, like, what's actually happening here. So, when we talk about the New Testament, we have Jesus, right? And Jesus is obviously, like, the big dog, right? You have the Gospels. It's like the most influential part of our faith is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, right? And then after that, I would say it's Paul. Paul wrote about half of the New Testament, half of the books in the New Testament written by Paul, right? And so we're going to be sitting under that this morning to see like what Paul really has to say. I don't have a title for my message, but if I did, the title for my message would be that God is with us in our suffering. God is with us with our suffering. So Paul, if you don't know, he was a very brilliant man. He talks about in Acts chapter 21 that he actually, or 22, that he sat under the feet of Gamaliel. Gamaliel was like one of the smartest guys, one of the best teachers in all of Israel, right? So like if you were a chef and you were like, I sat underneath Gordon Ramsay, people would be like, man, like, you probably really know how to make steak, right? Like, you're like, really, it'd be completely different if you're like, I sat underneath Guy Fieri, right? You're like, you talking about the Flavortown guy? Like, that's the guy you sat underneath? Like, people wouldn't really care too much, but like Gamaliel, right? So Paul, in terms of his Jewish pedigree, was like smart, really zealous, right? We kind of meet Paul as he is going to persecute the way or the early church, right? So Paul is going, he's like, I'm ready to like persecute these people. And as Paul is going in the direction to destroy the church, Jesus appears to him, right? And I love that about the gospel is as we are going in the opposite direction, we're going in the direction that God does not want us to go to, Jesus shows up and says, actually, this is where you need to go. And so what happens, like, Jesus shows up, asks Paul, why are you persecuting me? Knocks him off his high horse, And then, God uses Ananias to basically go to him and touch his eyes and cause him to see again. And that's where we see Paul kind of start his journey as a Christian. And we are told kind of at the beginning, as Paul is doing that, that in Acts chapter 9, we don't have the verse here, but I'm going to read it to you. Acts chapter 9, verse 15, it says, "But the Lord said, go to Saul, my chosen instrument, to take my message to the Gentiles and to the kings, as well as the people of Israel, and I will show them how much he will suffer for my name's sake." So God takes Paul and uses him to basically preach the gospel to the Gentiles. You have the Jews, right? And then the Gentiles are just kind of like everybody else. And that's Paul's ministry. And where we see Paul, as we're going to pick up in the scriptures here, we're going to pick up at the end of his third missionary journey. Okay? And with his third missionary journey, we know that it was his last one. About 4 or 5 years of time. Books like 2 Corinthians, Romans were written during this missionary journey, right? So those are some really heavy-hitting books, Romans especially. So Paul is kind of making his way, and he feels a call from the Spirit of God to go to Jerusalem. And we have this verse up here, Acts chapter 20, from verse 20 to 24. It says, as he's kind of talking, he's meeting with the Ephesian elders, which is a church he planted, and he says, "I never shrank back from telling you what you need to hear, either publicly or in homes. I've had one message for Jews and Greeks alike, the necessity of repenting from sin and turning to God and having faith in our Lord Jesus. And now I am bound by the Spirit to go to Jerusalem. I don't know what awaits me, except that the Holy Spirit tells me in city after city that jail and suffering lie ahead. But my life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work assigned by the Lord Jesus, the work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God." So if you know anything about Paul, Paul loved Jesus and he suffered for that, right? And if there's one thing we are called to in this Christian life, regardless of when we become Christians, is that we are going to suffer, right? I feel like sometimes when I think back to how the gospel was preached, it was like, you're going to receive Jesus and everything is going to be fine. And I just don't think that's necessarily true. I think there are some of us who are here this morning who are going through it, who are really just being crushed, right? Whether that's work, whether that's family, whatever season of life you're in, you're feeling kind of the weight of that pressure, right? And I'm not here to say that it's all going to be all right today. That's not like, I don't think that's fair. But what I hope you feel this morning as we go through the scripture is you feel the Holy Spirit minister to you as you are feeling that crushing, right? That you are not alone, that you are not by yourself, that God sees you in the storm. He's with you. So now we pick up in Acts chapter 21. And so Paul says goodbye to the Ephesian elders, and let's go ahead and pick up in verses 1 through 7. "And we had parted from them and set sail. We came by straight course to Kos, and the next day to Rhodes, and from there to Patara. And having found a ship crossing to Phoenicia, we went aboard and set sail. We had come to the side of Cyprus, leaving it on the left. We sailed to Syria and landed in Tyre, for their ship was to unload its cargo. And having sought out the disciples, we stayed there for 7 days. And through the Spirit, they were telling Paul not to go to Jerusalem. And when our days were ended, we departed and went on to our journey. And they all with wives and children accompanied us until we were outside the city. And kneeling down on the beach, we prayed and said farewell to one another. Then they went on board the ship and they returned home." So Paul is continuing his missionary journey en route to Jerusalem. And the first place they land in, the first meaningful place they land in is Tyre. Right? And as we heard and as we read in the last verse, Paul is like, I feel the call of the Spirit to go to Jerusalem. And the Spirit of God is telling me, I'm going to suffer. I'm going to be crushed for the name of Jesus, right? And then we get to Tyre, and there are people who are prophesying over Paul. And as they are prophesying over Paul, they say, Paul, don't go to Jerusalem. And you might be thinking, that seems a little odd, right? That seems a little weird. You have the Holy Spirit telling Paul he needs to go to Jerusalem, and then you have people saying, hey, don't go. Now, I think actually what's going on here is that these folks, as they were praying and prophesying over Paul, saw that he was going to encounter great hardship. This is going to be a theme of our message this morning. Hey, Paul, you're going to go there, and you are going to be crushed. You are going to suffer. And when I look at that response, hey, don't go there because it's going to hurt, that's a very natural response for us, right? Like if God gave you the ability to look in the future and you're like, oh, if I go left or right, if I go left, left means I'm going to experience a lot of pain. A lot of us would be like, no, that's good. I don't want to go there, right? That's very natural for us. And now I'm trying, I've been wrestling with how to say this because I don't want to come off as somebody that is like, I don't know, if you grew up in the church a lot, when you're suffering, somebody is inevitably going to be like, have you read Romans 8:28? You know? Well, you know, brother, everything works together for good. That's it's not wrong. But what you need in the moment of crushing and suffering is not for somebody to point out something very obvious like that, but you need them to walk through that with you, right? It's become very apparent to me as I've become a parent, when you're trying to reason with a toddler, right? Like, I can't just be like, hey, calm down. Like, that never works, right? I have to, like, validate, hey, you're scared, right? That's totally fine to be scared. I swear, the best theology class I ever took was being a dad. So if you don't want to go to an unaccredited Bible college, never mind, that's bad advice. Don't do that. Being a parent is tough. But that's not what I want to do today, right? I don't want to be like, hey, well, just pray about it. What I want to offer is some comfort. Why? Because when we are being crushed, when we're going through hard, difficult times, the thing that we want to do most is to stretch out our arms and to say, you know what? I need safety. The water is coming in and I'm drowning. I need to grab onto something that's going to provide the safety I'm looking for, provide the safety I'm trying to find. And you start grabbing things that aren't actually helpful, even though they seem like in the moment they are going to be. This week, there's a layoff at my job. I work at Peloton, and there's just tons and tons of layoffs. And two of my friends got laid off, and I was talking to my therapist, and she said something really interesting, because I was like, yeah, like there's no... feels like there's no stability at my job. I'm like looking to kind of go and try to find it. And she's like, well, if you look at the job market, there really is no safety. So what kind of safety are you trying to construct? And I was like, dang, that feels great. Yeah. You know, like you're just like, man, that feels, my own therapist is like, sorry, buddy, you're just going to suffer, you know, like, and I'm, but that's just the truth, right? You're like, man, like even if I could construct a semblance of safety to satiate the pain I feel in this moment, is that truly what God wants for me? Wow. So what I love is when you look at, Paul addresses this, right? So in Romans chapter 8, verses 18 through 18, 19, 23, and 26, Paul talks about this groaning, this feeling that we have to have things be made right. So I'm just going to read it for us so I don't botch it, right? So Paul says this, yet what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory that will be revealed to us later. For all creation is waiting eagerly for the future day when God reveals who his children really are. And we believers also groan, even though we have the Holy Spirit within us, as a foretaste of future glory. For we long for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering. We too wait with eager hope for the day when God will give us full rights as his adopted children, including the new bodies we have been promised us. And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. I pray that those scriptures would be a comfort to you this morning. You know, like, the word that stands out to me here is that word groaning. It's Paul is like, hey, creation is groaning, waiting, hoping, desiring for things to be made right. You as a human being, as you are being crushed, is hoping and waiting for God to come back and make things right. And the Holy Spirit, in the midst of our crushing, is like, I want things to be made right for you as well. So you have all of creation, right, who's frustrated with things not being made right. You as an individual, it's, man, if death was so normal, why does it feel so unnatural, right? Right, like that groaning, that hurt, that frustration, and then the Holy Spirit is feeling that as well, right? When you look at that word in the Greek, the picture of it is of somebody like stretching out their neck in anticipation, right? Like if you've ever ridden a roller coaster and you're about to take the drop, you're like, oh man, right? I think more specifically for me, it's been my kids, right? So I have a video of it actually. My daughter Ivy is probably the most particular human I've ever met. She loves her mom, her Lola, which is her grandma, and then mangoes. I'm like not even on the list. Like she said mama first, and then you would think the second thing she would say is dada, but she said bubbles. My wife is like, maybe she thinks your name is Bubbles. I was like, okay, that's really, really sad. But when Ivy sees mangoes, she'll like outstretch her arms and start grunting. Actually, I have a video of it. I don't have the mangoes, but I do have, it's mac and cheese. So this was taken yesterday, so I don't know if we can show that. That's the groaning I'm talking about, right? And one more time. Thank you. She's so eagerly awaiting the mac and cheese, the mangoes, that she can't even say the words, right? And I think for a lot of us, that's what happens when we're being crushed. We're like, God, I need you to come and make it right. I need you to release me of this pain that I'm feeling. I need you to come and overcome the thing that is too difficult for me to hold. And what I love is in our crushing, in our suffering, when it's too difficult for us to even put into words what we are feeling, we're just weeping, we're just crying, we're just hurting. The Holy Spirit is doing the same, if not more, for us. He is saying what we cannot say. He is feeling what we cannot articulate. And he is interceding for us. So if you are here this morning and you don't even know what to pray because you are just falling apart, you don't know what to feel because it's the weight of whatever is crushing you is too big, the Holy Spirit intercedes for you. The Holy Spirit is with you. I feel like the most alienating thing you can feel in moments of despair is like you are alone and you are not. I can't say that the Holy Spirit will take it away from you, but he's with you. Yes. My hope this morning is as you feel that, as you receive that, the Holy Spirit would just comfort you. Because the reality of this situation within our lives is that it's not necessarily going to get better, but we have the hope that at some point, Jesus will come back for us and make it better. We are in what we would call the already, but not yet. We are already saved, but not yet in heaven. So let's continue. Verses 7 to 14, the next stop after leaving Tyre and Plotmos, we were greeted with the brothers and sisters and stayed for one day. The next day, we went on to Caesarea and stayed at the home of Philip the evangelist, one of the seven men who had been chosen to distribute food. He had four unmarried daughters who had the gift of prophecy. Several days later, a man named Agabus, who had the gift of prophecy, arrived from Judea. He came over, took Paul's belt, and bound his own feet and hands with it. Then he said, "The Holy Spirit declares, so shall the owner of this belt be bound by the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem and turned over to the Gentiles." When we heard this, we and the local believers all begged Paul not to go to Jerusalem. But he said, "Why all this weeping? You are breaking my heart. I am ready not only to be jailed at Jerusalem, but even to die for the sake of the Lord Jesus. When it was clear that we couldn't persuade him, we gave him up and said, the Lord's will be done. So Paul is traveling again, closer to Jerusalem, and he meets another prophet who basically says, hey, let me borrow your belt, ties it around himself and says, hey, whoever owns this belt is also going to experience being bound and suffered just like this. And then he has all of his friends are like, Paul, please do not go. And Paul very boldly says, hey, I'm ready to die. I'm ready to suffer for the name of Jesus. Now, if I'm honest, when I read this, I just don't really understand how somebody can actually do that. How you can come to any sort of conclusion that you know you're going to suffer, you're still going to do it. And I think there's two things that are happening here. For the first thing is that this is the power of the Holy Spirit speaking through Paul. Secondly, Paul's calling in life is completely different from ours, right? Like, a lot of us are all believers here. I don't think a lot of us are called to another country to go die for the sake of the gospel. I think a lot of us love Jesus, but I don't think that's the calling on our life, and I think that's okay, right? But what I love here is what really Paul is communicating is that the surpassing worth of Jesus is made clear in our suffering. Mm-hmm. And that's why Paul is able to say, hey, I'm ready to go. My family and I, we moved back to San Diego. I'm originally from Inland North County. But we moved here a year ago. And I met my wife in Denver, and I was really, really broke at the time. I was working at a inner city school in the middle of Denver, and I remember like my wife was helping me with my budget, and at the end of it, I had like $50 left over for fun money. That's what I had left. I was like, $50. Can't even like fill up my car for gas. Like, that's how like gnarly it was, right? And I remember at this point in my life, I was like ready to pop the question. But I was like, there's no way. And I started praying, like, God, like, if there's anything you can do to, like, hook me up, that'd be awesome. I would just, like, love that. Like, right now, like, what do I need to do, Lord? Like, do I need to preach the gospel to somebody? And then maybe they'll give me a ring. Like, what do I need to do? My buddy, a really good friend of mine, like, his grandparents had left him, like, some sort of, inheritance, right? And he used that to buy his ring. But, like, both of my grandparents are kind of gone. So I was like, Lord, like, you gotta do something for me. So I called my parents, and I was on my way to like run some errands. And as I'm telling them, like, yeah, I think I want to marry I want to propose to Dana. I don't really have a ring for that. And they're like, my mom was like, your Lola left you a ring. I was like, what? I was like, sweet. And so, fast forward, I'm in San Diego, I'm picking up the ring, and we were getting it cleaned, and the jeweler laid out this beautiful like black velvet. And he put the ring on the black velvet. And behind the backdrop of that black velvet, like, it really just started to shine, right? And in the midst of our crushing and suffering, I feel like that's what the gospel looks like for us, right? There's no longer any noise. There's no longer anything else, right? Within our lack, the gospel is made exceedingly more valuable, right? Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 3, verse 7, I once thought that these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared to the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all garbage so that I can gain Christ. When we have little and suffer much, Christ, in his sweetness, reveals himself as more valuable than anything else. Yeah. I know it's tough. I know it seems there's no way out. but the one consolation we have, the only consolation we have, is the truth of the gospel. Amen. That Christ calls you in this moment to delight in him. And that might seem so foreign and difficult, but I pray that in this moment for you, as you feel that and as you see that, that the Spirit would minister and show himself as valuable and life-giving to you. You pray with me? Well, actually, you know what? Not yet. Got ahead of myself. This season of life has been really tough for the DeAndros clan. Everything has been tough. I mean, I think everybody feels that, right? Like, my dog tore his ACL, which is so wild. I found out a couple months ago that my mom was diagnosed with cancer. Obviously, there's things you work through with mental health. There's obviously, like, job things, right? So, like, we're all being crushed. I'm being crushed. And more than anything, I'm preaching this to myself, right? Like, hey, like, I can be reaching for all these other things and they might satiate me for that moment. And that's fine. That is okay. But they are not going to bring me the comfort in the life that I so long for. And my prayer for you this morning is that if that is you, if you resonate with that, that you would cast your cares upon him who is willing and able to hold them and carry them for you. These things that we reach for, they're just too weak. They're just too small. It's a lot of pressure to put on an experience or a person or a food, but to put that expectation on Jesus, to put that expectation on the Spirit of God, is far more life-giving. You pray with me. God, we thank you. We hold out our arms, hold out our hands to receive your comfort, to receive your receive your hope when it feels like there is none. There's nothing we can say to rally any sort of comfort. And God, I just even want to pray against that, God, that we wouldn't even try to foster that up for ourselves, but we would instead lean on you. Instead of choosing to reach out for things that the world says, this will provide your comfort, this will provide your joy, that instead, through the power of your Holy Spirit, through the power of your gospel, would reach out to you, Jesus. And in a way that only you can, would provide the comfort, provide the stability, provide the joy that we are clamoring for. Shaking for, almost like outstretched our neck for, God, that we would just, instead of pointing that in a way we can control it, would point it towards the way that you can control it. So God, this morning we surrender. We hold up our hands and we say, we need you. So be with us, God. Minister to us in the only way you know how to do it. In Jesus' name, amen.
You are listening to the Makers Church Podcast. For more information about our community, please visit makerschurch.org.